listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, September 21st. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
So glad to have you, and thank you for all of those joining us live and those that take the time to catch up with us in the archives. We appreciate your contributions, and we've heard from some of you by email, too, to listen to the archives, and we appreciate your support. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Of course, we'll begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief, and those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we are alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, you know, Dr. Vicki, we're going to have, I think, a little bit more of a relaxed discussion, but I know we were talking about, you know, changing of the seasons, amongst many other things, prior to the program.
Oh, Michael, you were talking about evil possessions and magic.
Well, it was a toss-up, you know. Are we going to talk about, you know, satanic rituals and all that, you know, stuff, or are we going to talk about the fall and, you know, pumpkin spice? It's you can go in either direction. And
we are. Today is happy fall, everybody. First day of autumn, officially. So let's start off with that. But, Michael, you know I have to do this, right? I have to announce this thing I came across on Facebook because I'm still laughing about it. Apparently, a fortune teller who predicted Queen Elizabeth's death using asparagus tips says King Charles will abdicate next year and hand over the reign to Prince William. Jemima Packington is the world's only asparamancer, and she sees the future by tossing spears in the air and interpreting how they land.
Okay, did you say her name was Jemima?
Yeah. That's what it said. So a plug to Jemima Packington. I don't even know what to say. I mean, people use all kinds of things, but asparagus, first day of autumn, you know, I mean, whatever. I guess you can read anything, right? Stones, sticks, grass, I don't know.
First
day of autumn.
Listen, if I'm going to, you know, divinate, I'm going to go outside, get some seashells, throw them up in the air, and then determine how many fall right side up versus downside, and whichever that way that is going to be completely up to me and which decision I want to get to. I'm pretty sure I can kind of figure anything out. But on the same token, if you had to ask me, I would say that Prince Charles might abdicate next year anyway. He's been waiting a long time, but he is not popular.
Oh, Dr. Owen said, and Nostradamus said the same thing. Maybe Jemima just read Nostradamus. I don't know. I'm just saying. It's fun. You know, there's all these, we're talking about cycles and seasons, and I am a big fan. I know a few people have already mentioned in the chat, I love the autumn. Oh, and yeah. It's number one, for me, the temperature's nicer. I like the spring too, but the autumn is, there's just something magical and colorful about it. And, you know, that the cool nights where where I live, depending where you are on the planet, but the warmer days, and it's just kind of magical where that season is shifting.
Yeah. It is. I know it is. In different regions of the Earth, it's more magical. You know, we transitioned from the 90s to the 80s, and that's, you know, a blessing in and of itself here in Southwest Florida. But, you know, I do miss when I lived up north and the changing of the seasons. And, you know, I do kind of think about the patterns of our lives and the cycles and all of the associated memories with the fall. You know, the changing of the leaves, of course, the weather getting cooler, different things like that. And, of course, you know, Mira's chiming up. She really appreciates autumn as well. And Tamir's my dog, to new listeners. It's funny, in the chat, Wendy was saying that Alexa, the smart home device, it has an option where if it hears your dog barking when you're gone, it'll play calming music. So we'll see if that starts up.
Oh, that's interesting.
But, you know, when you think, going back to this Jemima, she has a last name, I'm sure. You said it, but I can't remember what it is. As soon as I heard Jemima, my mind just stopped. But thank you. So... We build our lives around trying to find patterns in these things, and we associate different seasons with different things. You know, autumn has always been associated with harvest. You know, we plant in the spring, it grows, we harvest, and then the winter comes, right? It's built into a lot of our different, you know, especially Western societies and, you know, school calendars and things like that, but... You know, the ancients looked for patterns, and the ancients looked to the stars and looked for patterns in the seasons and to know when different herds were coming or when different foods would be available or, you know, obviously to prepare for winter. All of these things were essential to survival, and we begin to look at patterns more and more deeply as our awareness continues to gain power. And now, I'm not going to say that, I want to say, like, Tackleton or something like that. Jemima Tackleton? It's okay.
I gotta go back.
It's okay.
Packington.
Packington, thank you.
Yeah.
And not to say that, you know, that's realistic. I mean, maybe it's just because it's asparagus. Maybe you can just use any random thing and it's all about how the probability falls. I mean, hey, I pull cards and it's all just the randomness of it. But I would say that there are intuitive people like yourself, Dr. Vicky, that can tune in to some of the patterns and tune into some of the kind of cycles going around us and see those patterns kind of play out.
You know, when, of course, I lived most of my life in Alberta, and I would always know months ahead of time what kind of season we were going to have. I was so connected with the geography and the air and the sensing of things, knowing when things were changing, and, oh, this is going to be a weird winter, I can feel it, and tuning into animals. But when I moved to British Columbia 10 years ago, I had no sense of anything. And when you're living in mountains, I don't even know which is north and south. Mm-hmm. You know, it took a while. And now that I've been here a few years, I can begin to sense the environment again. But it took some time because I wasn't familiar. And you talk about watching patterns, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Everything changes here. There's no necessarily no regulated pattern.
Right.
It's
unpredictable.
And again, it's mountain life, right? So it's different.
Yeah.
However, being able to sense your environment, sure, you know, tune into that. What is the cycle going to be this time? Of course, now we have climate change, which is, you know, off the charts.
Fun little wrench thrown into the works, isn't it?
But, you know, you talk about patterns. Back years ago when Fukushima happened, you know, and oh my God, there was, and I went, here we go. And I could feel and sense the earth now would have a new pattern. And there was a wobble and the earth did tilt a little. And that's when the jet stream started to change.
Mm-hmm.
And so where the wind patterns and the weather patterns began to move. And, you know, aside from all the other reasons of the climate changing, and weather changing, which are two separate things. But again, it now has different patterns that we want to predict. If you check the weather reports every day, they don't know what they're talking about, and their computers don't know what they're talking about. Because I can go hour to hour, go to the weather reports, and they've changed the predictions.
It's a constantly shifting environment. Come on. Got to cut them, you know, weather people some slack.
Well, again, they're going on what they think is, normal, by years gone by, and trying to predict things, and then what does this mean or that thing. Mm-hmm. It's not working very well. Cause,
Well, and there's also, kind of an incentive to gin up some excitement about things. It just makes me think of pictures where you've seen them on the internet, like little videos or behind the scenes things where it's showing a weatherman or, a person from maybe the Weather Channel or something like that here in the States. And they're bracing themselves against the wind and huddled down and holding the hood on their hat and acting all, dramatic. And then in the background, you see a local just strolling along, fine, just walking.
I just love it when they, you hear on the radio or news or something and saying, it's going to be a clear, sunny day. And I look out and it's pouring rain. I say, man, they got to look out the window.
and we were talking about Alexa a little bit earlier, and I don't know where she gets her weather, but it was raining earlier this evening, and I wanted to take my dogs out. So I asked Alexa, when is it going to stop raining? And usually she'll have a pretty good gauge. So this time she said, it's not raining. I'm like, it's not. You sure?
But Alexa knows.
I know. And then it stopped raining, so she made it real. No, I'm kidding.
There you go. Yeah, it will stop eventually. So when we talk about patterns and cycles, we can see it in our own lives. So I'm just doing a little shift here on you, Michael.
Oh, sure.
It's if every 9 years in numerology we go through a pattern. So if you, for instance, look at your name number, your birth path number, and then you see a destiny number, and you see where that lines up in a year. So for instance, I'm October 25, it's 2022, so I have to do my math here because I haven't looked at this for a long time. And I add those up and I reduce it to a single digit, it's a 5, so I'm in what they call a 5-year. But I'm a 7-1 name number birth path. And so I can look at next in 2 years, the year is going to line up with my name number. And so every 9 years, I know that there's going to be some internal shifts and changes. And that's something I noticed in patterns, kind of picked up on that myself, like 20 some years ago, and I went, hey, there's a pattern here. Mm-hmm. And so when your birth path number lines up with the year that we're in, and then it's external changes, how your relationship with the outside world changes. And the same thing with, your destiny number, I call that spiritual restlessness. So if your destiny lines up with the year that we're in, so again, you take your month, the day of your birthday, and it's 2022, then you get, this is your vibrational year numerically. And there's a pattern. And you look back every 9 years and you can say, oh, I see that thread. So it's a different expression of the same thing. So we live in our own kinds of patterns. And the same can be said of sevens. There's 7 days in a week. There's 7 52-day cycles in a year. So there's every 7 years, right up to 40, the age of 49, we have these other cycles at work. Now, after 49 to 56 is a one cycle again. So there's all these patterns. We're living in these patterns. So it's quite fascinating.
It is.
Go ahead.
When we talk about the patterns and these different numerology, it just brings back how math is kind of at the center of everything, really, in life. Mm-hmm. Geometry, math, their music is simply a mathematical expression.
Yep.
All of these different things, these different patterns that we see. And the other thing that I was thinking about while, we've been talking is that, it is, I think, impossible for human beings not to live our lives in a type of cycle. We have our daily circadian rhythm. We have our daily routine. As the season changes, as the years change, talking about this year, these cycles of, different series of sevens, nines, etc. All of them are predicated on the constant, ever-changing nature of life. If things were stagnant, it would be terrible. It would be awful. Our entire existence would come crumbling to a halt. And it is just a good reminder that change is not always a bad thing. Change is a natural part of existence. Change is unavoidable and should be embraced at times, too. Of course, there are some changes that we can control and some that we can't. We can't control the weather or the changing of the seasons. We can control how we treat each other and how we choose to try to build our societies.
There's a lot of choices we have, and even if you know ahead of time, okay, it's getting ready for winter, then you know to clean up your yard, get your winter gear out, like, hello. So that's how we work with these patterns. You know, you work with it, not against it, because you can't change those things. But there's how you behave within those cycles is
right. I think I used this either last week or the week before, you know, the old saying that I'd heard that, when sailing, you can't change the direction of the wind, but you can tilt the sails. Mm-hmm. So, you know, exactly what you were saying. And that's the best way to look at it. So when I think about the changing of the seasons, it's also a time to reflect. Again, a time for me to be eternally grateful that we're going from the 90s to the 80s. And pretty soon we're going to be in the 70s and the 60s, and everybody else is going to be freezing and wishing that they were in Florida instead of the other way around. But
No, I'll say that when it's minus 30.
Celsius or Fahrenheit?
Celsius. I know.
I think it's a first one, then the other kind of situation.
I know. But you know, Wendy is also saying in the chat, everything's numerical. And I might also add that even the chakras in the body, and anybody who's taken a couple of my courses would know that I talk about this, that chakras in the body is a musical scale. So if you think at the root chakra, you begin at C and go up the scale to be at the top chakra. Now, I did this, again, back in the 80s. I was kind of obsessed with understanding the body and numbers and music and tones. So every day, I had a little keyboard, I would, you know, go up the scale and meditate on that in my body. And I thought, doesn't it make sense to start at A at the root chakra? Well, I'll tell you, I did that for about a month, meditating and doing the exercise, breathing in the root chakras and playing the notes, and I was beaming off the planet. I'll tell you, my intuition was sharp, my sensory perception was sharper, but I was so out of discord with the rest of the world. Everybody else is on a different frequency. I had to adjust. I had to go back to the key of C at the root chakra so that I could be in that collective consciousness. That was fascinating. That was a huge exercise for me in understanding another element of collective consciousness. Now, I do want to say here that in the collective consciousness and understanding that, you know, that seven-note scale, that is something that we evolved and decided, you know, the seven-note scale, because if you go back to the Gregorian chant, there were 33 notes in a scale. And, you know, very slowly,
right,
especially those church people, they had a blast with that, and they reduced it to seven.
Oh, of course.
And so that's why, and I, you know, a late friend of mine who's a musician explained to me that everything in nature is music. And I know, I think we've mentioned this before in a previous program, but how a car driving on asphalt is a note.
Yes.
You know, because everything in nature is notes. And so he would say, like, blues players are always trying to bend notes with their guitars. And that's to get to what they believe is a truer note than your scale of C, D, you know, C, D, E, F, G, A, B.
Right.
And it was fascinating. So that took me on this whole adventure. And I know that Manisha Anwakar, one of our graduates. Oh, I hope I know I have her name wrong. Sorry, Dr. Kelly. But she wrote a book in India about how many more chakras there are in the body. And it's like thousands when you think about it.
Right.
But she expanded on that study. And I think of all the colors and musical notes that go with that and how our bodies are resonating to those frequencies. And we have patterns. So again, that collective consciousness pattern, you know, and how a society moves through patterns and changes. Like, for instance, we're back to fashion from the 60s and the 70s. That's a pattern, you know.
Oh, the 80s is everywhere, too, you know, when it comes to, you know, movies and pop culture and things like that.
Oh, I am not backcombing my hair. It's not going to happen. But I will wear bell bottoms. I love those. So it's, you know, again, we can take these observations, you know, into so many ways, mm-hmm. and that's being a good observer.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's where, you know, I always encourage people, what are you observing? And I know part of what you mentioned before the program, Michael, was about our subjectivity.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and that is critical. Understanding the often subjective nature of life and the way that perception and our unique perception kind of influences our reality and that around us. You were talking about the frequencies that you were at. And on that, before I forget, when you're meditating, do you ever use music to try to attain those frequencies? Maybe, you know, kind of, I think of, you know, Tibetan kind of bell kind of tones that kind of would continue. Or is it just a mental process?
I did that for a while and they just irritate me. I don't know why. I just kind of vibrate to my own frequency and I hear tones in my head. And being, in my lifetime, having been a writer, I hear things talking in my head. Music will often disrupt that.
Yeah, I can empathize with that.
So the singing bowls and all that stuff, raising your frequency, I don't do that stuff. I mean, I appreciate that people do it. I don't, because I find it...
Well, that's the perfect example of the subjective nature of life. What works for mm-hmm. one person may not work for the other. We may have different paths to get to the same or similar destinations. And, you know, who's to say what our destination is, ultimately? But I would also, you know, agree that we need to be aware of the patterns in life, of the rhythms, and aware of ourselves. Yeah. I've noted in myself, you know, certain tendencies that I go through patterns of, you know, really getting really into something, and then once I'm really good at something, I'm like, I'll get bored and I'll get away from it. Or I've noticed other people in my life have gone through patterns of chaos, even, where they go through a huge event, it's a very chaotic event, and then they come out, things get settled, and after a few months, there's another chaotic event, and the patterns of that. And I think we need to be self-aware of who we are, how we're behaving, and what patterns we've chosen to adopt.
Well, especially these days, we have disruptions in patterns.
Yes.
There's a lot of disruptive energies out there at the moment. And I think if you look at weather, it's disruptive, you know, not quite normal. People are disruptive. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I want to mention that I'm not sure. I've never heard of this binaural beats. Dr. Zach Frame is saying that. It plays different frequencies in each ear to trick your brain to hearing a frequency that typically you can't hear. I have neither. Wendy is saying her son does that, but she's not comfortable with it for herself. So I would think that if you want to activate different parts of your brain in different ways, I suppose.
I think what you're referring to are frequencies that, you know, can no longer be heard or can't be heard with the human ear. I know that when I was younger, you know, a teenager, you know, we had the early editions of cell phones, the flip phones, not the earliest, but the earlier flip phones in the 2000s and what have you. And, you know, there was a thing that there was like a famous tone that you could get like an app for and went in or different programs for. And it would play this tone that people over a certain age could just no longer hear. And so it was a way to code to each other so that the teacher couldn't hear you if you wanted to with your friends and things like that. Mm-hmm. But and I kind of think it's going that way, and you know, a physical frequency that can be heard, you know, that may not be able to be heard naturally by the human ear or something along those lines, but that's just a guess. Definitely would recommend anybody that listens to this and heard that and finds it interesting, binaural beats. Did I say that correctly?
I'm hoping so.
I'm going with it. Google will correct you if it's wrong.
He says he typically trades it on a case-by-case basis. If it doesn't make me feel good, I typically don't do it, but it's good depending on the program, bringing balance to certain areas. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's Dr. Zach. Audra has mentioned that some frequencies and vibrations make her feel kind of sick, but someone told her that it means she's out of balance. Nah.
Yeah, I was going to say, no, I've heard tones or sometimes just a tone, a vibration, a frequency, a vibe, if you will, can turn you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's just you reacting to stimuli in the world. You know, I don't think that means you're out of balance. I just think it's not, you know, something for you. But
well, out of balance by whose standard?
Exactly.
And whose idea of what balance is? Now we're back to that subjectivity. So I'm not so sure about that. I think we have to be very cautious about how some people diagnose stuff, you know, and their opinions of it. I know you have to be careful, because I have also been told that, you know, there's these tuning forks that a lot of people use now. You know, you kind of ding, you know, when it's supposed to activate a chakra and the nervous system and stuff. That irritates me beyond words, because and why it does is because the facilitator thinks that that tone does that, but it does something totally different to me.
Right.
And they tell me that I'm out of balance. I'm saying, no, you guys are on a different planet, because that's not working for me.
You're not in balance with me.
No, that's right. So I do what I do, and I like to just stay there. Mm-hmm. I try to be really careful when I go for, you know, a chiropractic treatment or anything else because of their energy, because I'm like a sponge in a way.
Yeah.
And that's why I like to go to people who are not into New Age spiritualism and stuff. I prefer people who are more scientific, so they don't get in my vibe.
they don't fuss with it, you know.
Yeah,
get it contaminated.
They change. No, they're just, it's kind of like a doctor, you know. They examine it, they put this in that, and they crack this and move those muscles, and they're not thinking of all the energy stuff, because I say, yeah, keep your energy off of me.
Well, and I think that's where belief comes in a lot of times, right? Because somebody tells you something's real, then you start to believe it's real, and you behave if it's real, and you feel if it's real. So you just created something that didn't used to be there.
Well, there was a time where I had this again many years ago. I had gone to a really wonderful woman chiropractor, but I noticed the couple of times I went home not feeling well, like I was really sick, and I thought, wow, am I that out of whack that I'm sick with these adjustments? But by the third time, it clued into me. She's talking about her boyfriend and the problems and all the stuff, and I realized that I was getting all of her energy. So that's, again, that wasn't me being out of whack and something going on in my energy space. It's picking up on her stuff. So I just didn't go back to her anymore. So,
you know. Well, and that's,
you just got to be careful with stuff like
you
that.
You do. And you know, I think it's important to be aware of another person's vibration, of frequency, and what they're operating on. And, you know, not that you, I wasn't going to say that, you know, you can't intermingle, you know, oh, don't mix with people that don't vibe on the same frequency. But at the same time, just be aware of it. Understand how it affects you just like you did. And I would say, you know, tolerate other people vibing at a different frequency.
Well, that's not to say I wouldn't recommend her to other people.
Sure.
It's just not for me.
Oh, I wasn't saying you were saying that, but
But she's a wonderful lady and very talented, gifted, but that's not for me. So that's where I realized that it's my responsibility to seek out the help I need, but from what kind of people, you know? And yet I have a naturopath who is so sharply intuitive. Oh, I love her, and so knowledgeable. Like, we can just have a 5-minute conversation and she tunes into something. So it's pretty cool, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. When you can.
Sorry.
When you know, I'm sorry, it's based on the word that I was going to use, coalesce, vibe, you know, connect with somebody like that.
And understanding our own patterns and understanding what we vibrate to, what's good for us, and what our season is best, and take advantage of that energy. And, you know, it's, that's a time, you know, every now and again to take, do a little evaluation and assessment. So
absolutely,
you know, we didn't last week because we were having such a cool conversation, but this week we are going to pull cards. Michael pulls cards from the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards designed by Dr. Kelly, and I pull a supporting tarot card. So
yeah,
for those who are new or listening in the archives, that's what we do. So we're hopefully going to get some names in our chat here for somebody who'd like a card pulled. And
absolutely.
We're
going to look at the patterns that the cards show.
Yeah, that's right. Wendy, our card keeper, does that for us.
Absolutely, and thank you, Wendy, for all that you do. We really appreciate you. And we have some names filtering in. We have Dr. Ione coming up first. And, all right, let's just go ahead and get into it. We have wild card number 3, blocks. Dr. Ione, we have wild card number 3, blocks. There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for a new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight are required, and remain open.
I got the 10 of diamonds in support of that, Ione. And you might feel like a little pinch when it comes to finances. Like, basically, it's the marketplace. You know, it's which direction do you take? How is money going out and in? And just taking inventory. So if you feel like things are blocked at the moment, it's just relax with that, because it's part of, we all have those cycles, you know, of that happens. It just, I feel like it's going to reconcile for you, you know, pretty quickly. And even in this next week, you're going to see a shift where you're going to say, oh yeah, okay, we got through this month and it's okay. Everything's fine. So, just if you, like I say, if you feel like there's blocks in finances, you got a little something coming that's going to take the edge off. That's cool.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Dr. Edward, have you up next? And I have another wild card number 6, entropy. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, or low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, or high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her personal entropy and the world is in a better place.
Oof, you got the High Priestess in support of that, Edward. You know, sometimes our entropy changes and gets out of whack when we're not following our intuition. And I would just suggest that this is just a reminder to you that when you follow your intuition and, let's say, don't go with the general consensus of people around you, then your energy is good. So it's happened to me so many times, I can't tell you. So just monitoring your own energy and not falling into other people's stuff. Oh, here's a pattern. Dr. Edward had this on 0420 and 0615. Entropy. Thanks, Wendy, for that.
Very interesting.
So I'm just going to say a reminder to you, Edward, follow your own intuition. You know, just your own intuition, because that's what the High Priestess said. She's insightful. She's the, you know, that, there's a word I'm looking for. It's not coming. But she kind of knows what's going on. So there you go.
All right. And we have Anna next. And Anna, I've pulled number 5 for you tonight, Law of Control. Differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The Law of Control says that you cannot change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you are entitled to control. Do not give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave.
You know, the 9 of diamonds in support of the law of control, I would say in and around matters of family members, close friends, because this is all about satisfaction in and around the home, is just giving a little extra breathing space for, you know, how people think and how they want to do things. So Dr. Kelly's adage of, you know, preference versus principle comes to mind, Anna. So if it's a preference, you know, never mind. If it's a principle, then you could certainly step up. So I think that if there are influences trying to control you, is maybe set your boundaries clear, and also being cautious that you're not trying to poke at somebody else to do something a certain way. And when we get really excited about what we're doing, we want to always, you know, share with people, but that doesn't mean they have to listen. So it's just that law of control in around relationships are dynamic around the home.
So. All right. And we have our card keeper, Wendy, next. And
I think we have Jeff in there first, don't we?
Oh.
Maybe.
I'm sorry. You're yep. absolutely right. I'm so sorry.
Hand slap.
I'm telling you.
How many times have I done it, Michael?
Oh, I have an exact list somewhere, but it's just not on hand. But anyway, well, I'm sorry, Dr. Jeff. I have number 33 for you, preference over principle. A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it is a matter of preference, yield. If it is a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy.
Didn't I just mention?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that myself, too.
Preference and principle? That's wild. You know, Jeff, I got the 10 of clubs in support of that, preference versus principle. You might feel like a dynamic right now is going through a little bit of... I'm not feeling problems. I'm feeling like a little stressor, you know, like how do you work this out or where is this going kind of thing. And the assurance of the Ten of Clubs and the Ten of Wands is that you're getting to your destination. You're getting there. It's just weighing that preference versus principle. And we got to remember that we're all human beings and we have good days, bad days, and moods. You know, and sometimes we don't know what people are going through, what they're thinking, unless we communicate. So, and even then, sometimes you just need to let a bad day be a bad day.
Oh,
a hard day, it'd be a hard day.
Sometimes you have to.
Or a tired day is a tired day, you know. But it's watching that we, you know, kind of just roll with the punches, you know. So, you know, you're getting there. In this case, Jeff, so preference versus principle. And maybe that's just a thought to have at the moment.
All right, very good. And now I am a little paranoid, but I do believe we have our card keeper, Wendy, up next.
I think so, too.
We have number 16, continuity of life. Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with continuity and flow and the flow of day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter may begin. And as I close that out, Dr. Vicky, I will let you read your card as I go chase my kitten who ran down the hall and the dog's after it. And I'll be right back.
Okay. That's kind of funny. I had a visual on that. The King of Diamonds in support of that, Wendy. And what I always, when it comes to women dealing with cards that reflect this, I see it as a power figure. And not necessarily a partner, but a power figure. And it might be the continuity of life, you know, especially at work. Or this could be a boss or a superior in some way. And I feel what this is saying to me intuitively is that you might be having a hard time with somebody, but they do have your back. So you might be having to vocalize, stand up for yourself, you know, speak your mind. And you think there might be a little stress between you, but actually this is somebody who has your back. Mm-hmm. So it is that continuity is there of that relationship. I'm seeing here solid, even though it might have its bumps.
I agree with everything that Dr. Vicky just said wholeheartedly.
Because you didn't hear a word.
A little background. I have two new kittens that recent listeners might have heard, Luke and Leia, siblings. And I just have a little, you know, dog gate in front of their room so that the dogs don't get in and bother them too much. Well, Luke's adventurous, so he hopped the fence and was running through the house, which is fine, except the back patio door for the dogs was still open, so he could have gotten out. So, quick little jaunt there and back, got my steps in. All right. Now, I believe we have Audra next.
I have Tabitha.
Oh, you know, I got my list off. I have, Tabitha, then Audra, and then Andrew. Okay. All right.
And Mike. And yes, Mike, we have time for you.
Absolutely. And then Dr. Zach before Dr. Mike. But, I got two and you got one. But Tabitha, I have number 28 finally for you. Do no harm, do right. One of my absolute favorites and kind of one of the foundational principles that we live by. Do no harm, do right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. Doing right means to also take positive action where there is a need without infringing on the free will or rights of others. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right establishes the foundation for all other principles.
I had to pull two cards here, Tabitha, because I couldn't quite get a handle on that. So I had the Six of Spades, which is the Six of Swords, and I pulled another one to say what you know, kind of help me out here, and it was Judgment. So the do no harm, do right is you could be feeling like you're not able to speak your truth. I don't know where that comes from, Tabitha. I got to go with it. Not able, that somebody's not hearing you. But I feel like changing the words, they will hear you. So it's understanding how somebody is receiving them. And so speak their language. You know, paraphrase a little bit, and it's like, oh, you're heard, and that's the relief of it. So the do no harm, do right, and how that plays in is not to get too frustrated, you know, because communicating is a very frustrating thing at the best of times, and there's a language going on sometimes, Michael. I don't know what people are talking about, you know. So
tell me about it. Real and recent story is I have a very close friend of mine who English was not their first language, but very, very proficient English speaker, but from a different part of the world too. So we don't always communicate in the same way. We use different words for different things sometimes, so it can be a bit of a barrier there too. So a little firsthand knowledge on that topic, but all right.
Yeah. You know, I'm just going to inject here. Wendy was saying that one of her coworkers that she had interviewed on a podcast some time back, passed away, and so it's just a thing. Wendy does a podcast, and you can look her up on Facebook, and she'll give you more information about Wendy White, and maybe Wendy wants to a link in for us. So.
Read my mind there, too, and it's very sad to hear, and, you know, it's a tough part of life, especially when we know somebody that happens, you know, so recently. I've gone through that with clients in my other, you know, line of work. I've had clients in the past recently, and it always hits you in a very tough way. Yeah. But
okay, right. So we have Audra next.
And Audra, I pulled for you tonight number 43, Expediency. All right. Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency, others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and wisdom to know when to slow down to assess the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it.
You know, the Eight of Hearts is such a great support for that, because I always see it as you know, kind of you're walking in the dark and you don't always know, you know, where you're at, and you only have your intuition. And this is reinforcing to you, Audra, that sometimes you might think you're procrastinating, but one morning you're just going to wake up and say, today's the day, you know, or you're wondering when something's going to happen, and then the snap of a finger, everything falls into place. So it's knowing when to act and be ready to act, but don't act before it's time. So, and you'll know, even though somebody could be saying, well, you should do this, it just doesn't feel right. You got to wait to that moment where it feels right to you. And of course, that's also in, you know, we all hope that we understand or know ourselves well enough that, no, I'm not being a drag. I'm not dragging my feet. I'm not procrastinating. It just doesn't feel right. But I feel like something is coming up here. It's gonna feel right, and act fast. You're on the game. So, and look, it could be as simple as, you know, going online and finding that, oh, that right job posting that just came up and you put your name in. It's like, no, that kind of thing. It's just being quick to action because you have to. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes things just need to fall into place exactly the right way. But.
Yeah. Andrew
All right.
is next.
And Andrew, for you, I have wildcard number 4, unknowable. There are mysteries in the universe, and not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
So with the King of Spades in support of that, Andrew, I'm using that word intuition, I think, a little more often than I usually do tonight, but it's like you're a go-get'em and you want to go get 'em, and that doesn't mean it's aggressive. It can just be a really assertive energy. Mm-hmm. And feeling passionate and moving forward, but it's got to watch when things can move. So, because there's unknowable forces at work, and we can't know everything. So, it just means also that there might be some things to learn about, things to observe, to study, to know when to take action. So, it's, you know, sometimes we have to slow down a little bit, observe, study, and say, oh, okay. And, like, you may not have all the information. So when you do, you'll know exactly when to act, because that King of Spades, he's a go-getter and feeling that really good burst of energy.
All right.
Very good. Now, Dr. Zach is next, you say?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And Dr. Zach, I have number 14, energy shift and new chapter.
Good.
Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new.
You're going to love this, Zach. Strength. That will of spirit. So it's a new kind of energy coming forward, that energy shift, new chapter, and the strength and the will. Do you have the strength and will to do it? Yes, you do. Absolutely. So I feel this sense of optimism, like you're coming across something new you want to incorporate into yourself, and I think it might even be health-wise, and so you're feeling optimistic, and I feel excited about it when I think about it, so go for it.
I love hearing that.
Yeah, keep pursuing that. So energy shift, new chapter, and strength. Yeah, that's a really profound message, the support.
That's beautiful. I love it. All right, we have Dr. Mike next. And Dr. Mike, you were sympathizing with Wendy's situation, and you had lost a friend about a week ago, and want to extend our sympathies to you as well. Never easy, but...
Tough.
Tonight, I have number 36 for you, gratitude, and that's perfect. I have to say, we were very gracious of your joining us last week. Thank you very much for that, and I think everybody else appreciated it. You know, not having to hear me talk as much is going to make anybody grateful. So, number 36, gratitude. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended.
I got 7 of diamonds in support of that, and that's really exciting. It's like something you have been putting energy into is going to pay off for you. Some recognition, some acknowledgement, but I also see even some kind of financial reward. And no, we can't send you any money, Mike, but, you know, it's from some other source.
Don't forget about that publisher's clearinghouse check coming to you. I mean, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
For real.
So that gratitude, I think it's going to be double rewarded in some way. Like, yeah, you have gratitude you've been able to do this and you're thankful for it, but there's other sources that are acknowledging that and are grateful for you besides us. I'm talking about other people in your life. And so there's something, a bonus coming your way. So that's really exciting. It is. You know, I don't really want to get into this competing kind of thing in any way, you guys, but I lost a really good friend last week too, and actually it quite crushed me. We go back 35 years and I hadn't seen him in a few years, but we, you know what happens when somebody you know has passed on, mm-hmm. you have all these memory flashes, you know, and it's, for me, it was a lot of the funny things that the great conversations that we had. And, you know, just those moments, so you get all those little flashes and being, so I'm going to follow up with, you know, using this word gratitude and how grateful I am to have had him in my life. And I think that's one of the things to remind ourselves of is we're all going to die and it's never easy losing people. And the older we get, the more it happens. And it's just to be so thankful that somebody impacted your life, especially in a very good way, and how that helped to change us, because even our encounters with other people change our own patterns. You know,
absolutely.
It has an impact. So I've been thinking a lot about gratitude in this past while. And, you know, I think, you know, probably as it goes, everyone here and the not too distant past has, you know, lost somebody close to them in some way. And, you know, so it's like we have to roll with those tides. And it's not easy. Some hit us harder than others. But I'm just so grateful for that friendship, you know, back in those days. And I'm still in touch with his family all the time because he's had health problems and other things going on. Mm-hmm. But it was through his daughter that, you know, I learned things through Facebook. Okay, I'm in, you know. But it's a good way, you know, and I can send messages to him through her. And that's, it's just a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're social beings. You know, we're all affected by each other. I'm affected by all of you that, you know, come and join us. I'm affected by, you know, Wendy and Andra and Dr. Mike and Dr. Edward and Dr. Zach. All of you affect my life. Dr. Vicky, I guess you kind of affect my life. It's a wash. I don't know. But I'm joking, of course. But it's also one of those things where you had said earlier, sometimes you just got to feel sad. You know, yeah, we're going to feel better. We're going to come around. We know that life has changed. Life is part of the cycle that some of our friends and family have reached the end of this cycle for them sooner than we would have liked. Some of our pets. I think it is criminal that dogs and cats don't have the lifespan of a human. But, you know, we go through these. We entangle with the people in our lives. They become a part of us and we become a part of them. And when they're gone, we feel it missing on both ends. And, you know, it's something that we work through and we live and we grow from it and we continue always. But sometimes it's okay to just hurt.
Yeah. And just being grateful I'm still here.
You know,
still here. It's, you know, it's the first day of autumn. I love the season. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful to still be here to enjoy that. And I'm grateful to you, Michael. And, you know, we're, you know, talking about that time of year. I'm grateful to everybody who joins us every Wednesday. And thank you to Dr. Kelly as well. I think we're going to try to encourage Dr. Kelly to come on the program in the next few weeks.
We'll see if we can do a little arm twisting.
See what we can get there.
Also am looking forward to the next month. We're going to be looking for Dr. Kelly to come on, or Dr. Kelly the Elder, as I call him. And we are going to be talking about maybe some different kind of paranormal things. We're getting to that time of year. Tabitha had suggested cryptids and ghosts and things like that, perhaps.
Ooh,
spirits. So, we're going to have some fun. And I am looking forward to seeing you all then. And, today has been, I think both, Dr. Vic, you and I are both kind of feeling a little bit off in our vibrations today. And I was a little fatigued coming into this, but, it's been a bit rejuvenating for me. So thank you for that. I have gratitude for that. And as we kind of come to a close of this great discussion, Dr. Vicky, any last thoughts?
No, everybody, one day at a time, hang in there, be kind to each other, kind to yourself,
true.
And know that in life's rhythms and patterns, this too shall pass.
Well, very well said. Very true. Well, thank you, everybody, for taking the time to join us tonight. We appreciate you more than you know. We look forward to seeing you next week, and until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.